Thank you, Miss Melissa. I appreciate that. And I want you to open your Bibles to our text today, found in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And then after we read our passage this morning, I'm going to invite Brother John, or he'll be ready to sing for us our special this morning, if you would, Brother John. Acts chapter number 13. And we're going to read verses 26 through 33. If you're able to stand, let's stand one more time in reading God's Word this morning. Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock, that is, of the family of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word, that is, the message of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they recognized him not, in other words, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, though they found no cause of death in him. Yet desired they Pilate, they asked Pilate that he should be slain or put to death. And when they had fulfilled, that is, they carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, that is, the cross, and they laid him in a sepulchre, a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, that is, the good news, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, that God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is said also in Psalm chapter 2, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you that we have again the privilege to worship you as we've done in music. Lord, we thank you for the special on the piano and through the giving back to you in the manner you've blessed us. And Lord, we just pray now that you'll help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in the message. Help us to listen intently and, God, to apply the message this morning as you'd have us to apply it. And Lord, if there's one under the sound of my voice today that is not a child of God, they're not sure if they die, they'd go to heaven, that they can get that settled today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's others who have needs or burdens that they're carrying, Lord, may we all know we have a God that we can look to this morning. But Lord, sometimes just come at an old altar where, God, there's some significance, Lord, behind the fact that we get to meet with you. One-on-one, we come into your presence when we pray. God, I pray, Father, that you would just allow us, if need be, to come to the altars. Lord, and if it's to pray for ourselves about matters or someone else, God, just help us to do as the Holy Spirit leads. Lord, we just want you to be worshipped today. We want you to be honored in this service. May it not be about us, Lord, but may it all be about you. Thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You listen to Brother John as he sings for us this morning. Thank you, Brother John. We'll ask you the question probably several times this month, because our theme for this month is really something that I'm sure many of you will, if not already, started to think about, but will hopefully as the month goes on, and that is, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Now, you know, the older I become, and I just turned a year older just a few days back, the more I look around, as I had the opportunity to do the other day,
And just take time to give God thanks for His many blessings. You know, I'm amazed of what God does sometimes for us, not just in the materialistic things, and that's not necessarily what I'm referring to. But yet, I'm amazed of how God has blessed me personally, and I'm sure you could probably say the same thing. There's a lot of things, yes, in our life that we may want more, or we may feel like we need more of, or whatever. But you know, when it comes down to it, someone shared in our Sunday school class this morning that they're just thankful that they live in America, thankful for a free country that we live in, and there are a lot that along that line, obviously, that we can say thanks for. But as we go into this month, and as I'll be mentioning a lot over the next few weeks during our messages, want to challenge you to come up with some individual things on your own of what you're thankful for. And hopefully by the end of the month, you'll find you've got such a long list. And if you know, we could come up with the things that we're not thankful for, right? Real quick. I mean, that just pops in our minds sometimes. But sometimes we overlook the things that we're so blessed to have, and we take for granted. And I want to look from a scriptural standpoint, and especially in our text this morning, in Acts chapter 3, and the thing that I want to emphasize and what we've heard, and I didn't lay out all the music today, but it just amazes me how God, when God's in control of a service, God, if you let Him, He'll even control the music. And what has been sung by the choir and what's been sung in the way of the special and even the congregation, some of that was planned in advance before the message was even prepared. And what I gathered from all of that today was we ought to be thankful that we have the privilege to declare the gospel. That's what my message title is today, declaring the gospel. You know, the name church on a signpost or over the door of a building, yeah, you realize that does not guarantee that the gospel of Christ is being declared or even preached from that particular pulpit or classroom. You know, we often think that, boy, because it has the name church on it, that must be where you'll hear God's word preached. But listen, the name Baptist, by the way, does not guarantee the declaration of the gospel, does it? Now, I know we're in the Bible Belt in the South where there's Baptist churches on every street corner. I mean, have you ever taken the time to count out the number of Baptist churches just in Autauga County alone? I mean, listen, we're way up there in high numbers. Now, the further north I understand you go, you don't find many Baptist churches. So if we're based on the fact that the gospel's being preached because we've got all these Baptist churches, and you know what? Even in some of our good Baptist churches, there's no guarantee that the gospel is being preached today. There are good people in these churches, no doubt, but there's no guarantee that the declaration of the gospel is being preached. Matter of fact, most of the churches in existence today claim to be declaring or preaching the gospel, yet the truth is that many churches are have moved far away from preaching the gospel. Now, what is the most important message that we need to declare? No doubt is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I dare say that's the thing that's changed my life more than anything else was the gospel that we see here laid out in plain English. In Acts chapter number 13, Paul gives three elements of the gospel in the passage. He speaks of in verses 29 and verse 30, he shares the gospel. He says, "And when they had fulfilled, that is, they carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree." Now, if they were taking him down from the tree, what has already happened? He has died, right? They took him down from the tree, which represents his death. And the Bible says, and they laid him in a sepulcher, which represents what? A tomb. a burial place. They buried him. And then verse 30, but God, I love this verse, don't you? But God raised him from the dead. So in just those two verses alone, we see the declaration of the gospel. The gospel is, in a nutshell, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings. Now the word glad tidings there means good news. We declare unto you the good news. Now, by the way, this is the same statement that was made by a heavenly angel in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that is good news, which shall be to all people, right? You've heard that verse. So the greatest news that your ears will ever hear, and that the angels proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, and the same declaration that we need to make is that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Even Paul said that. Too many churches, by the way, have gotten away from preaching the gospel. Now, listen, I know this as a preacher of the gospel. I could tickle ears by preaching things that doesn't step on toes, or don't mention hell. Just make everybody feel good. And folks, we could pack a place out real quick, okay? But when you start declaring and you preach the gospel, not only are you going to preach about heaven, which we're all looking forward to going to there if you know the Lord, right? But you also, in declaring the gospel, you need to mention hell. Listen, you need to preach about hell. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke more about hell when he was on the face of the earth than he did heaven. That's not to say that he put more emphasis on hell over heaven. It's just the fact, I believe, that Jesus spoke more about hell simply to turn people away from going there, because so many are headed in that direction of the day. But yet, thank God for the declaration of the gospel. If it were not for that, as an 11-year-old boy, I wouldn't be saved. I thank God for a church who declared the gospel when I was an 11-year-old boy. Listen to me, church. Religious work, religious efforts, and religious programs have taken the forefront in today's churches, haven't they? You know, we seem to have forgotten that Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 32, he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, then will I draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up. Listen, the reason for God's continued blessings upon even churches like Fountain City Baptist Church is that because God has allowed us and given us the privilege, which I'm thankful for, to be able to declare the gospel. Verse 32 again says, and we declare. That word declare, by the way, in verse 32 means to preach. That's what it means there in that verse. And we declare, we preach unto you good tidings, that is good news. Listen, today, church, I'm thankful, aren't you, that we have a church that we can come to declare the gospel. I'm not bragging by any sense. You know, but, you know, I'm just thankful that God has raised up this church almost 40 years ago to be able to, in this small community of Prattville, and by the way, it was small back then, right? How many of you have been here for 40 or more years in Prattville? Okay, you've seen a lot of changes, haven't you? You've seen a lot of growth. When I came 25 years ago to pastor this church, it was, and I told you that, I struggled with coming back to Prattville. I'm a Prattville boy, although I was born in Wetumpka, Alabama. I'm from Prattville, and I love this place, but I didn't want to come back, as I shared with the church, because you know what? I just thought I need to go to a big city, you know? But I'm thankful God allowed me to come back to Prattville, Alabama, to a church that was declaring the gospel. And I'm the second pastor this church has allowed the privilege to stand in this pulpit and preach. And thank God, God has allowed us to continue to declare the gospel, not only at home in Prattville, but around the world. This church supports over 40 missionaries, thank God, around the world in declaring the gospel in foreign lands. And again, I'm not bragging about that, but I'm simply saying thank God he's allowed this church to do that. And some of you are part of doing that daily in your life. And it's a privilege that God gives us to declare the gospel. It really is. So let me say this in a few points to sum up the message this morning. First of all, today, as I said, as your pastor, I'm thankful that we declare the gospel, but we don't debate it. We declare the gospel, but we don't debate the gospel. There's nothing, by the way, to debate about the gospel. Now, I've had preachers who do not believe the same thing that we preach and promote here at Fountain City Baptist Church when it comes to the gospel. And I won't call names or denominations or whatever, but I've had some that's called or stopped by very angrily and says, "Hey, I don't like the fact that you are the message you preach." Not just preachers. Listen, sometimes we'll get unkind things that are said. And by the way, if you're standing for truth, if you're standing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to expect there's going to be attacks, right? If you're doing that in your workplace, or if you're doing that around family members, listen, there are going to be those that are constantly going to try to debate you on ways to get to heaven. Listen, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing to debate about the gospel. It's settled. I don't have anything new to share with you today that I've come up with. Listen, because God settled it over 2,000 years ago. I don't know how many times I've heard people debate as to how, what, and when a person gets saved. One group says that if a person has committed murder, then he can't be saved. Or another group says, if they commit adultery or if they're alcoholics, they can't be saved. Listen, church, there's no one sin that can cause a person not to be saved. Listen, you say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Because it's not the sin that sends us to hell. It's the rejection of the gospel. And thank God for that. Now, there's some people I would say deserve to go to hell based on murder. But if that person gets saved, and I'm not advocating any sin as one. Listen, all sin is sin in God's eyes when God looks at it. God looks at one sin as equal as to the other. When He died on the cross, He died for all of our sins. But, you know, thank God there's not one sin that's worse than the other. We think of it in those terms. But listen, it's the rejection of the free gift, the gospel, that sends mankind to hell. Oh, listen, a person is born again when they obey the Word of God. When they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "And thou shalt be saved." That is what God says. It's not what some theologian thinks. You know, when a person acknowledges their sin before God and confesses their sin and repents of it, and this is all basic stuff, I know, for many of you here this morning, but yet when we acknowledge our sin, we confess it and repent of it, and we call upon the name of the Lord, that's salvation. Now, it involves a genuine belief at that moment in time. Listen, it's not anything in and of ourselves that we're capable of doing. It's accepting the free gift that God has offered through His Son Jesus when He went to the cross and He died. And many of you have done that, I realize. You see, debating the gospel is a pastime for many. There are just some that love to sit around and just debate the Bible or debate the gospel. You know, there are some who make a living out of it, by the way. There are others who waste time and effort debating the gospel while people all around the world are dying and going to hell. Who then can be saved? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, you know it? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, if I understand that word "whosoever," that means anybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You mean, preacher, that murderer? Yeah, I mean the murderer. That alcoholic? That alcoholic, the one who's committed adultery, same thing. Listen, you can name one sin after another for whosoever, but the key is there's got to be that genuine belief, that heart belief of wanting God. Now, how many of you, and don't raise your hand, but I'm sure that if I ask you, how many of you have family members that need to be saved? Every one of us could probably raise our hand this morning that we want to see them saved. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So don't give up on that family member. Listen, don't give up hope of what can be done. Pray for them. Pray that God would just convict their heart and use you to maybe be that witness. We have friends. We have people that we work with, no doubt. But you know what? This is the time of the year. And one of the reasons I mentioned this message today, and I say that we ought to be thankful that we can declare the gospel. Declaring the gospel is not just the preacher's job, right? It's not just the missionary's job. Declaring the gospel is the believer's job. The child of God, we all have the obligation to declare, to preach the gospel, to declare it to others. Now, you may not be called into ministry to stand behind the pulpit and preach like I've been called to do, but we all have been called to declare the gospel as a believer, to share our faith with others. What is that? That's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's, in a nutshell, what Jesus has done for all of us this morning. You know, but let me say this. This is the time of year that we need to be praying and declaring the gospel. I heard the other day, and it really shocked me, that there are millions of dollars that people spend on Halloween every year. I don't know how many millions it was, but it was way up there. Millions of dollars. And you know, I don't know, but I heard more, I think, on the radio, or read more about the different costumes people were going to be wearing. Even in the state of Alabama, do you know what the number one costume for Halloween was? Like you care. Anybody know? Now, this is what I heard. Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse. But I didn't see anybody dressed up like Minnie Mouse. I saw a bunch of Gus Malzahns and a bunch of Nick Sabans dressed up, folks dressed up. You know, but I didn't see Minnie Mouse. But you know what? There are millions of dollars spent on Halloween. Matter of fact, me and my wife went out to a restaurant just the other night, and the first time this has ever happened, the lady came over and gave us our bill and went to pay for it, and she wrote on the bill, "Happy Halloween." Matter of fact, before we left, she said the same, "Hope you have a happy Halloween." I'd never had that said to me before. It was Halloween. It was the 31st. I don't say that like we're promoting it. But happy Halloween. You know what I thought? I want to say Merry Christmas. Because we're coming into the time of year, you cannot say Merry Christmas anymore. I know we can, but we're going to be told, hey, listen, the workers at Walmart, places like that, we got to be sensitive. We don't want to offend anybody, but they can say Happy Halloween all they want. Oh, listen, times have changed, haven't they? Folks, listen, the point is that we live in a time where we need to be declaring the gospel more. But you know what? We're being told, listen, don't say anything about Jesus. Jesus is a dirty word. Our kids are being told that. Just the fact that I saw a picture the other day where a coach who has been persecuted, he was gathered around his football team. And he was not leading the prayer. He was just joining in the prayer as one of the kids were leading the prayer. He was just joining in over his team as one of the kids were praying. This group up in Wisconsin, this atheist group who's trying to remove God out of everything, they came out against it because somebody took a picture and put that out there. And so now they've come after him. And the school, the superintendent, made the decision to say, hey, listen, our teachers cannot do things like that. They cannot join in, although they are not leading the prayer, but they're not even to be seen. So what does the coach do? When his kids gather in prayer, he has to stand at a distance while his ball team prays in America. Church, I take it serious when it comes to declaring the gospel. What a privilege we have to do it. We're losing our privileges today. And I take it personal as a pastor when we're told, like the pastors in Houston, Texas, have been told recently, to turn in your sermons. To turn in your sermons because you've been preaching against homosexuality, or you've been preaching against the political municipality here, and are not necessarily preaching against, but you've been speaking out it, and I want all your sermons. The day will come where, listen, that's already something that we see happening now. How much further will it go, is what I'm saying. Messages like this, again, I'm not fearful of what's coming down the pike. I know what's coming down the pike. God has warned us way in advance of what to expect in the last days. What God wants God's people to do, though, and what we have to do is, first of all, be thankful that God has given us the privilege that we can declare the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to" what? Repentance. We need to declare the gospel because we have, some of us have family members. If we keep our mouth shut and don't share our faith and don't share what Jesus done for us, they may die and go to hell. Because if they don't hear it, how are they going to, if we don't tell it sometimes, how are they going to know? Same with friends and family. We need to be declaring it. God's given us the privilege to do that. You see, debating the gospel is a pastime for many. Debating the gospel, by the way, does not change it, really. There's some that want to debate it, whether it's true, whether it's right. But just because we debate the gospel doesn't mean it's going to change. But there's some who think it will. You see, the message of the good news came on the night that Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 2, you can turn there if you want. But in two verses of Scripture, in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says that the gospel came on the night that Jesus was born in this passage. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings," that is, good news of great joy, "which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He's the gospel, Jesus says. He was born. We're going to be celebrating His birth during Christmas time. Our choir, you're going to be hearing from them. And all of us to declare the gospel message through song and through play and so forth. And we have that privilege. But we're not going to be debating the gospel. Debating the gospel doesn't change it. There may be some who reject or even despise the gospel message, but all the debate and the rhetoric in the world is not going to change it. You'll find that people, family members, are going to try to get you to twist your... Try to twist your words or the Word of God. But just because, listen, some don't agree with it doesn't change it, does it? Every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to be saved. And there's only one Savior. Who is He? Jesus. Only one Savior. What about Muhammad, preacher? I'm sorry. Muhammad's dead. He is. He's not alive. You go back and you compare Acts chapter 29 and 30. Muhammad didn't die on a cross. Muhammad, listen, what does it say in verse 29? Muhammad was not laid in a tomb and like Jesus was, and 3 days later rose from the dead. Muhammad is dead. Thank God we serve a living God, don't we? Thank God for that. Second point. Thank God that we can declare it and not define it. Thank God we can declare the gospel. We can preach it, but we don't have to define it. What do you mean, preacher? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. Flip over real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I know I've already mentioned this several times, but don't take my word for it. Look what God's word says. What is the gospel? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare." What does the word "declare" mean again? "I preach," Paul says. "I preach unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ," look at these words. How he what? How he died for our sins. According to what? According to the Scripture. And then, that how he was what? Buried. And that he rose again, not the second day, not the fourth day, but what is it? The third day. And what does it say? According to the Scripture. You listen, the gospel can only be defined how? According to the Scripture. Not based on what I... Now, if I got up and I said, this is the gospel, but I didn't back it up with Scripture, it wouldn't mean anything, would it? There's a lot of people that are doing that today that are giving their opinion and their idea about how to get to heaven, but yet they're not able to back it up according to the Scripture. And that's important for us to take note. You see, we declare it, but we don't have to define it because God's already defined the gospel according to the Scripture. Paul gave the definitions of the gospel in his sermon back over in Acts, in 1 Corinthians, but in Luke, in Acts chapter 13, gives us the definition of the gospel. As we already mentioned, the death of Christ in verses 28 and 29, the burial in verse 29, and the resurrection in verse 30. You see, this was God's plan. He demanded it to be done. God demanded that his plan go forth and be declared. Mark 16, verse 15, matter of fact, gives us our marching orders. You can find this same passage very similar to this in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But in Mark 16, verse 15, says, "And he said unto them," speaking of his disciples and us as well, "Go ye into all the world and what? Preach." What is the word preach? It means to declare. To declare the gospel to how many creatures? To all of God's creation. To declare it to all of God's creation. Now, we like to kind of stay at home. Let's just stay at home. You know, the ACLU right now and that group up in Wisconsin, the atheist group, they say, you know, listen, just keep it inside these doors and you'll be all right. Isn't that what they say, really? Now, even now, they're trying to come in the doors and they want to see our sermons, right? But just keep it inside the doors. God didn't tell us to keep it inside the door, the church house. God expects us to go out these doors, and God expects us to declare the gospel to all of His creation. Not just where it's been received. And it's listen, I find it to be the case that most people are not just going to walk in the door house of the church and decide, hey, I want to go hear the gospel. I want to go hear preaching. Now, some have done that. Maybe you woke up one day and decided, hey, I want to go to church. But it's very rare that happens. If we want to get folks to church to hear the gospel, we got to go after them, don't we? We have to go after them, invite them to, we need to tell them. Because what we have today, again, as I make emphasis, what a privilege that we have to declare the gospel, to preach it to others. Because we are the ones that God says are to go and to tell. Mark says that. He says, go ye into all the world. By the way, the word go in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and then Matthew chapter 28 and verse 29 and 30 there, you'll find the word go. That's not if you feel like going. That's not leave it up to the preacher to go. But that word go, G-O, is a command that God has given to His children. It's not if you want to do it or vote on it whether we're going to do it type thing. God says go. As a church a few years ago ran off a preacher. I know this to be the case because I know the pastor, real good man. And he came to me brokenhearted because he's a young preacher. And he came to me and he shared the reason why they told him to leave. They told him to leave. But by the way, this was a Baptist church, had church, the name church on it. And they said, preacher, all I wanted was to start a missions program in the church. And I encourage the people to go out and to tell people about Jesus and to invite people to church. And these are the very words he told me. They met with him, the deacons and all met with him and says, hey, we've got enough folks in our church. We don't want any more. I mean, we're talking about a church that's probably going to run about 20 folks anyway. But yet he was a young preacher. He was fired up, and man, he wanted to be busy not only preaching the Word of God as he was doing, but yet he knew that, hey, you know, we're to go out and tell people, like Jesus says, go ye into all the world. And he says, I tried to teach that to the church, that we're to be going out and sharing our faith and the gospel, inviting people to church. And they met with him, and they let him go because he wouldn't change his... He says, I'm not going to change my preaching when it comes to that. He says, that's God's called me to be a preacher and to challenge you to go and share the gospel. And they said, well, we don't want that. And he up and left. And by the way, he's in a great church today serving God over in Georgia. God is blessing him. He used him in a mighty way. But yet it was a hard lesson for him to learn. That was his first church. Listen, church, you may think just because there's the name church on the front of the building, that doesn't mean that there's the desire to declare the gospel. What a privilege we have. And then thirdly this morning, we declare the gospel, but we don't dilute the gospel. Right? We declare the gospel, but don't dilute it. I know you'll agree with this statement, and it's so true. But I believe that religion has diluted the gospel by mixing man's efforts with it. In other words, I believe what we have found to be true in a lot of churches today, where religion has gotten into the church. In other words, the truth of God has been diluted, watered down. In other words, preacher, if we're going to grow the church, we can't do it this way anymore. We've got to do it our own way a little bit. And so what happens when you start watering it down? I love sweet tea. Now I say that, my wife's going to probably be shocked by hearing me say that. Ordinarily, I don't drink tea. I'm not a tea drinker. But I was raised up on my grandmother's tea. Miss Lillian, you know what I'm talking about. When you could drink her tea, because her tea was so sugared up that when you drank it, it was like candy. And so now that's the way I drink tea now. If I drink tea, I got to have plenty of sugar in it just to get it down, because I'm not a big tea drinker. Now, but I have had tea where, you know, not if your tea's not like my grandmother's, don't take offense at what I'm saying. But listen, I just like to sugar it up a little bit, because that's the only way I can drink it. But any other way, it's diluted to me. It's not good. And you know what? Listen, I don't want to go to a church where they're not preaching the truth. I would never be a part of a church, whether you're Baptist or whoever, that did not declare the gospel. I would not. Matter of fact, if I was, and there may be some of you here this morning and visiting, and I know how you feel about what I'm about to say. Hopefully you'll feel the same way. But if you're looking for a church, and it may not be Fountain City, but if you're looking for a church, one of the things you ought to be looking for in the church, are they preaching the gospel? Do they declare it? Now, I don't have to get up and preach a message like this every Sunday. As you know, I don't hammer you with this every week. But yet, we're diluting the gospel message today. It's easy to bring religion within the church. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, it's not Jesus plus something else. The gospel is Jesus only. You want to get to heaven, it's Jesus only. It's not Jesus plus works. You see, what happened in the church at Acts, and boy, they over 3,000 people got saved there at Pentecost in one day's time, and they were having church, and God was just moving. But as time went on, there are those who came in and tried to dilute the gospel message. You could get to Acts chapter 16, where there was a group, a cult group that said, no, you not only need Jesus, but you need to be circumcised. Acts 15, verse 1. That was a group that crept in. Now that was back in their day and time. Today it may be other things, but Jesus and anything else, listen, that's not the gospel. It's not Jesus plus water, by the way. Those who preach that one must be baptized in order to be saved. Listen, I'm for baptism, but baptism follows salvation. It really does. That's scriptural. It's not Jesus plus baptism or baptism or whatever is the only way. No, it's Jesus only. It's not Jesus plus words, by the way. That's the doctrine of tongue-speaking people. You know, the Benny Hinn's and the Joel Osteen's. Now, I know some of those may be your buddies that you listen to. But listen, I challenge you. Listen, be careful of what some of those that you hear that promote tongue speaking as a way to heaven. I'm thankful that I don't have to speak in tongues to get to heaven. Because their tongues are of the devil. I have no doubt. I can back that up with Scripture. But Benny Hinn's and the Joel Osteen's and all those that promote... listen, it's Jesus plus something else. That's cultish. That's another gospel. All of these are another gospel. And Paul warns us of those other gospels in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be what? Accursed, God says. Let him be accursed. Listen, God takes it personal, I believe. When we go out here and we promote something more than Jesus as a way to heaven. Because what Jesus did on the cross, He settled it. What He did on the cross was enough. I'm thankful I don't have to work my way to heaven or do enough good deeds. You know, you wouldn't believe how many people struggle over what I've just said. So many people, when I've witnessed to them, well, preacher, aren't I supposed to do this? Aren't I supposed to do that? No, listen, to get to heaven is Jesus only. Faith and belief alone. It's not a prayer that gets you to heaven. I've emphasized that. And some people are going to slip off into hell because they say, well, I prayed a prayer. And put more faith in the prayer than they did their heartfelt belief in God. It's not the prayer. Now, granted, I prayed a prayer as well. But listen, before I prayed that prayer, I'd already accepted the fact I believe in God. I do. And that prayer was just, listen, it just kind of putting the bow on top of what God had already done in my heart and life. I accepted Him at that moment when He convicted me. God has blessed Fountain City through the years because we've been faithful to declare the gospel. Church, let's declare the gospel at home and around the world. You know, we ought to all be thankful that God allows us to declare the message of salvation to others. So let's all do our part. Let me challenge you to leave here with the thanksgiving that God has laid upon our heart as a church that we can go out and declare this gospel. Tell others how we got saved. You say, I don't know a lot of scripture, preacher. I don't either. I just tell people how I came to know Christ. And you know what? God uses that because He's the one that saves anyway. I don't do the saving. And we let the Holy Spirit of God do His part if we'll just do our part. And He'll do it. But we need to declare it. Let's all stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. What are you thankful for this morning? And I'm sure there are a lot of other things you're thankful for. But as a church, as your pastor, God, I tell God, thank you for the fact that we can declare the gospel. But if you know someone that God's laid on your heart that's not saved, or maybe you're here like that today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I trust you won't leave here today till you give us the opportunity to show you from God's Word how you can invite Christ in your life. Maybe you have a family member or friend that, listen, you want to see saved. I remember going every time the doors were open to the altar when I was a little boy praying for my mom and dad. And and so my family to get saved. And I believe God used the tenderness of a little boy's heart, and he heard my prayer, and God began to work in my family's life. And God, listen, God hears our prayers. Listen, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. If God's leading you to this altar this morning, come pray, whether it be for a family member or a friend, why not take that step and do that? Whatever your need is this morning, I challenge you to do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Father, we thank you for the fact that we've had the privilege to preach your word today. Help us now, Lord, to go out and declare the gospel. Help us, Lord, not to debate it or dilute it, but to God, know that we have the privilege of sharing it with others around us. Now, Lord, if there is that one in this room today that's not sure of their salvation, if they died right now, that they'd go to heaven, may they not leave here until they get that settled. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.